Threat Film Radio. One World International Human Rights Documentary Film Festival in Prague, Czech Republic.
Threat Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 One World International Human Rights Documentary Festival. And I'm very pleased to be joined by director Pau Ortiz and cinematographer and producer Maria Nova Lopez, who are presenting their film, The Other Side of the Wall. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So why don't we start off maybe the director can introduce the film to us. Can you tell us a little bit about the movie?
Yeah, I can say that this movie changed my life in a way, because I traveled to Mexico and I find very valuable people, very brave people that deal with the fact that their mother was in prison. So, yeah, it's a very interesting movie and touching movie about two young siblings that fight with the power of the law. They are from Honduras and they are living in Mexico, and it's a very difficult situation to be without papers in Mexico if you are from Honduras. Every country have problems with the borders, with some people, and in Mexico there are a lot of problems with the people that is from Central America and without money. So this is a film about borders too.
Yeah. Now, when you say that you traveled to Mexico, did you both travel to Mexico, by the way? Was it both of you? Were you involved, Maria, from the start?
No, Pau was living in Mexico when he met the family, and he started shooting some interviews. And it's only later than when he came back to Spain and we started looking at the material that everybody kind of said to us, like, you have to go back. You have to go back and keep filming with that family. And that's when we went back together.
I see. So you were living there at the time. Mm-hmm. And how did you meet? How did you meet the family?
I was traveling around Mexico, and in some moment I stayed for a long time in San Cristóbal de las Casas, and I met different NGOs that works in a different situations, and I realized that I wanted to make a movie in this moment about someone that are in a difficult situations, but they have the strength to handle with that. So I asked for different NGOs, and one of them, that is Casa Cereza, that works with women in prison, tell me that it's okay to do a movie, and I started.
Another thing I guess we should highlight about this film is that the protagonists of the movie are quite young, which makes it, I guess, all the more remarkable that they do find the strength to carry on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that when you are a teenager, you have a moment that you have a lot of strong in your ideas, and if your ideas are in a very good way, a lot of people can be a interesting character, because we are doing documentaries, and it's not the first time that a teenager is the main character of a movie. It's interesting.
But then again, how do you tell them, I want to make a film about you? Do they even understand what you mean?
Yeah, Rocío, the main character, I think I understand a lot of things better than me, of course. So, yeah, I think she understands, and she wants to be a movie star right now. So I think we helped her to do it at the same time, yeah.
It's a very universal dream, isn't it? and so then, Maria, you join in a little later on. Mm-hmm. And so when you meet them, what was your reaction to them?
It was funny to meet them, because we had been working with the first images Pau had. We had been working on a short film, like a short story. So I had seen them like a lot. I had heard all their interviews, so I kind of knew them already, but they didn't know me when I arrived. But we got on really well together. And I realized very straight away that they were very keen to tell their story. So that was all we needed. We wanted to tell their story, and they wanted to tell their story. So we just created like a very good team.
Yes, you said that they were keen to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because you do get very close to them, even in the very private moments. Was it somehow, did the camera affect how they were behaving?
Even though sometimes they might kind of forget that we were there, in general, they are aware. It's like, it's almost impossible to forget that we are there because we are people in a very small space. But they were used to it. That's what I can say. They were used to it. And I myself, when I watch the film and I look at the frame, I realize how close I was. It didn't feel like that when I was filming. And I said, wow, I was really close. But it felt very natural when filming.
Of course, you probably didn't know how long you would be filming. So how do you control all that? How do you kind of, do you just keep filming? Because I know that in the film, there's a gap of, like, say, a year and 4 months. Mm-hmm. And without spoiling anything, the idea was that the mother was going to be in jail for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So how do you plan that? Can you plan it?
I think it's a question more for you, for a production question. But yeah, when the goal was to film until the mother go out from prison, so it was the plan.
We decided the sentence was for 10 years. Talking to the NGO, people said maybe they can reduce it a bit, but maybe, let's say, it will be 8 years. So we started preparing everything financing-wise. So I was filming once a year for 8 years and just following the family. But obviously when people watch the film, we realized that there was like an unexpected event happening in the film while we were there shooting, and that changed our plans.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you deal with that? Because I'm also thinking, you know, you also have lives of your own, so... Mm-hmm.
Well, at the beginning, I was in Mexico for 9 months, and I started to make the documentary, only some, the first 20 minutes, or more or less. And later, it was magic or something, because we were there to this place 1 year and a half later, and in 20 days or something like that, and we don't know nothing about that, the mother go out from the prison. So it was like mystic or something to be there in this moment. It's very important. And
oh, so you were there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We didn't know it was gonna happen.
Oh, I see. Well, you were lucky.
Yeah.
Well, that's also a filmmaker's, you know, asset. Being lucky sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was other occasions where you weren't so lucky. Mm-hmm. I know I'm aware of the time, and I'm aware that you have other things to do. I wanted to ask you another question, taking inspiration from something that you said, Marie, earlier, that you didn't know that you were up that close. Mm. And of course, the people here at the festival at One World will get a chance to hopefully experience this film in the cinema, so actually up close and big, you know? Mm-hmm. And it makes me think about the power of the actual film image. And so I just wanted to very simply ask you, I mean, what do you think is the power that a film like this can have in communicating?
I think the power of this story is about something about intimacy. If you can empathy with these people, you can feel like you can handle a lot of things too. It's a way it's an inspiring story about some people, very human people.
Mm. And also, more in practical terms, the things we got through the film have been very important for us. Like, we won some prizes and stuff, and we always say the biggest prize is that we made it possible for the family to have papers now. Mm. So they live in Mexico, and they have papers so they can work and study. And that was thanks to a screening that we did in the Senate in Mexico. And through there, they have been able to have the papers.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. That's a happy ending to the movie, after the movie, and also to our interview. Thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.